Onu çok...
Ваша високоповажно, Степане Президенте.
Your Excellency, Mr. President, Beatrice, dear colleagues, students, ladies and gentlemen, it's truly symbolic that we mark the Day of Europe, the Day of Unity for the sake of peace and prosperity. The Kyiv National University cherishes the partnerships with the Alliance of Universities. We hope for the development of cooperation between our institutions for raising the awareness of Ukrainian society about the institutional peculiarities of the European education. We truly believe that the ideas of stable development provided under the presidential program should be implemented in the field of education and promote for the cooperation of all the students and academia. Also, we have, ladies and gentlemen from Europe, it's truly symbolic that in front of the main buildings of our universities, in unity with our friends and partners, the flag of the European Union is currently raising. We believe there will be a day when the European nations will be living in peace, which is currently defended by Ukraine. They will be working for the sake of new generations, and also we are very grateful to the President of Ukraine, who under a difficult period of time is leading Ukrainian path towards the Europe. Let the Europe develop, and glory to heroes. Now I'd like to pass the floor to the coordinator of the project of the Alliance of European Universities, to the Dean of University of Köln, Professor Beatrice Dussin. Please, Beatrice.
Zelensky, Director Bugrov, and members of KNU, dear UNIWELL members. On behalf of the European University for Wellbeing, a very brief, recreational, and light-making moment of welcome in these dire times of global turmoil. Imagine all the people living life in peace. I also begin with John Lennon's Imagine because on Europe Day last year, students of our European University for Wellbeing produced a wonderful adaptation of this song. With it, they wanted to commemorate the 1915 Schuman Declaration to call for peace and to send to you then what has also been important to Schuman's idea of the European Union, solidarity, love, and unity. 1 year later, on Europe Day, the atrocious war and unjust attack on your country and people have still not come to an end, and we cannot alleviate the direct consequences of this war. It is also difficult for us to imagine how to live and lead when bombs are continuously looming, when taken for granted values and human practices are brutally violated, and when colleagues and students across Ukraine continue to teach and learn and do research under the most difficult circumstances. But from the universities of Birmingham, Cologne, Florence, Inalcon, Paris, Constance, Linnaeus, Murcia, Nantes, Santiago de Compostela, Semmelweis in Budapest, and of course from KNU, we would like to shout out to you today, and as an act of solidarity, UNIWELL stands with Ukraine, with your people and KNU partner and all academic colleagues and students, firmly as a UNIWELL family. Dear President Zelensky, UNIWELL's mission and values clearly align with those of Europe. I quote, together we'll help create a world in which individual, societal, and environmental well-being are in synergy, in which we flourish and prosper together. In doing so, we also want to focus on the positive that is happening in the framework of the EU. We want to act globally, and in our alliance, we support each other, develop a way forward together, and find ways of coming together to celebrate this on Europe Day. On the firm basis of the freedom of research and education, we build bridges to those who are united in the aim to generate education and new findings for a peaceful, sustainable, and human future for us and the next generation, and dialogue is core to us. So what we do and must send to you, your people, and our KNU partner today and in the future is this sign of democracy, for peace, for human rights, for the life of humans, for Europe and European values, and the power of science and education, all of which you defend in this war for all of us. Uniwelt's members built on strong and long-standing trustful cooperations. We are there to listen to you, to support you and your people. President Zelensky, while we worry and think about what all of this does to you, to your family, your teams, and your well-being, we would also like to stress we admire your courage and how you co-create with Europe. As a German, I'd like to say that it's fantastic that you and your people will receive the Karlspreis soon. Congratulations. We have now no Uniwelt Award yet, but for now, please accept the invitation to join the Uniwelt family. Thank you for granting Uniwelt this historic moment, for taking the time on this Europe Day to address us. This is truly outstanding. We thank you for taking the time to talk to our students who are dear to you and us and who are our future because, as 25-year-old poet Amanda Gorman says, for there is always light, if only we are brave enough to see it, if only we are brave enough to be it. Thank you for your inspiration. We are motivated to carry on together. Thank you.
Now, dear ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor for me to pass the floor to the leader of Ukraine, the leader of country which is free to the whole world, please. Thank you. Greetings. And I'm very grateful for this words of support. I'm very grateful to all those with us today for this possibility to have a conversation. So first of all, I'm sending all the greetings to the students and congratulations with the Day of Europe. That's the day of united and once again brave and courageous Europe. And I would like to dedicate my today's statement to the bravery and courage to the importance of courage in all spheres of life, in the life of human, in the life of the state, and in the life of our whole continent, whether we would be here talking if 80 years ago the free nations of the world would be brave enough in order to destroy the evil of Nazism. Surely, if there would be a deficit of bravery at that time, we wouldn't be here. On the other hand, if the final decade before the Second World War, if the European leaders and the countries would be more decisive, would be more united, would be more brave, maybe the evil of Nazism could have been destroyed at its roots. And after the Second World War, the environment of freedom all around Europe and the globe as reason, but not a single step of freedom was just a gift. Everywhere, there's been more and more freedom because there were a lot more bravery demonstrated by the people. And whenever there is a fight for the freedom in the media, in the students' rooms, everywhere. The freedom was the consequence, the direct consequence for the bravery. But on the other hand, we had to fight for the freedom because there were those who believed that they could allow themselves not to offer certain rights to the people. And now, because of these opponents to freedom, because they were the autocrats, and this is also the result of the fear. and someone simply didn't understand that a time has come for the changes, and we have representatives of different European countries, different continent, parts of the continent. We have Ukraine, Sweden, Germany, Spain, we have France, Italy, UK, Hungary. Now, all of you, you can look at the path that your countries have taken on its, on their way to the freedom for the people, for our Europe that we know, that we cherish, and to see that that was the path of bravery and courage of very specific, courageous people who developed our community of free nations. Now, after the 20th century and after the first 20 years of the new century, people cherish, some people cherish more freedoms than lots of generations before us. We don't have the right to suffer to illusions that the fight for the freedom has already won. No. This horrible terrorist war that is being waged by the Russia against Ukraine is just yet another reminder to every single country, to everyone personally, that the bravery could be in need today, just as in any other time, the bravery was required to defend the freedom and our European values. The personal bravery turns into the bravery of the society. The society of the nations is this, the bravery of the society is the bravery of the nations. And that defines whether Europe will be brave or not. Now, Europe is like that. It's brave. It takes decisions. It supports the defense of the freedom. It exerts pressure on the aggressor. Now, why is this all happening? It's all because the bravery of the leaders and the bravery of the ordinary people that leaders follow. I don't have any doubts about our victory that in this war that was started by the Russia. I don't have any doubts about the bravery of Ukrainians and our partners and friends. We'll have enough bravery to overcome this terrorist state and their angriness towards the freedom in Europe. And our victory, it will make something that in the final decade before the Second World War was not achieved. We will destroy the evil in its roots until it is not yet possible to have a lot of violence spread. But we shouldn't lose the bravery. You shouldn't lose the bravery. Nobody else knows when they would need to stand in defense for the freedom. Nobody knows what other threats might be appearing to the freedom in 5 years, in 10 years. Should you need to defend the freedom, please be brave. Please do not undermine those values in the face of those trying to destroy that, so that the freedom would not be lost. I mean, if that wouldn't be the case before us, we wouldn't be with you. If we wouldn't be defending the freedom, would there be freedom after us? And I'd like to wish everyone to find the sphere in which your bravery would give more freedom and more capabilities to the Europe. And I really wish that your generation, will offer your children even more freedom and more values that we are providing already. I thank you for your attention once again. I'm happy to congratulate everyone. It was this Day of Europe, and hopefully next year we'll be able to celebrate the Day of Europe in Ukraine. I truly hope that this would be possible in the peaceful Ukraine. Glory to Ukraine. Glory to heroes. Oh, thank you, Mr. President. And now we'd like to ask the participants of our meeting to ask their questions. And Graham Garrison, now you'll have a chance to moderate this Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, I can't.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. President, for taking the time to join Uniwell Europe Day, this event this afternoon, and thank you for your inspiring remarks. And thank you for the leadership you've shown for the past 15 months in Ukraine and the world. My name is Graham Harrison, and I'm the Managing Director for Uniwell, the European University for Wellbeing. It's my privilege to moderate this question and answer session. And thank you again, Mr. President, for your interest and your willingness to take questions from students across Europe. I'd like to quickly introduce the process we're going to use today. I will call on each Uniwell member institution in turn, and I would like to the student to come forward and ask their question briefly, and then we'll give the opportunity for the president to respond to you. So our first institution today is the University of Birmingham. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. President. My name is Liam Walsh, and I am the Chief Student Officer for Uniwell and a student at the University of Birmingham. My question to you today is, as a European University Alliance, Uniwell aims to take a uniquely European approach to understanding well-being. As we aspire towards a future where Ukraine is more deeply connected to Europe as both a continent and a community of nations, what more can we do as citizens from across Europe to help our fellow citizens in Ukraine?
Дуже дякую тобі за запитання.
Thank you for this question. I think the answer is all about the fact that there is a mistake in your question. You're asking, like, what you as the citizens of Europe can do for the citizens of Ukraine. Now, that's where the mistake is. You have to understand that we're all the citizens of Europe. And when there will be no boundary, when there will be no division, then we will understand that we're coming from the same world, that we have the same values because we're defending those values. And then you'll be able to find your answer to the question when you will understand that we're all the same. We're all kind of European people, yes. At a certain point of time, Ukraine was part of the USSR, and we heard the quotations from John Lennon, from Beatles, and I could quote that nobody wants to go back in the USSR. So, I mean, we're just the same Europeans as you are. So whenever you're asking, what can you do for the citizens of Ukraine, just as you're doing that, I mean, defend the freedom as we are defending, not on the battlefield, but it's important that you exert pressure on your own society so that the society would keep be united in its support of Ukraine by condemning the Russian aggression, exerting pressure on the political leaders who should be supporting Ukraine and imposing sanctions against Russia. If to have these sanctions, then those sanctions has to be powerful, just not to sit and wait. If to assist Ukraine or in the media, in the informational space, then at 100%. Now, this is what we have to do. We have to realize that this is the war of Russia against the Europe, against the world. So we are the same people, all the same people that Russian aggression is targeting. But it is, these are Ukrainians who are defending Europe. So supporting Ukraine is just not is very important.
Thank you. The next question comes from the University of Cologne.
Uh, Yes, dear Mr. President, my name is Joshua Müller-Gerbes. I'm a medical student from the University of Cologne in Germany, and I feel very honored to ask you the following question, which is, what do you think, when the terrible war is over, what will be changed in the point of view of Ukrainian students about the future of Europe, and what should we, as other European students, learn from them?
Well, that was a very difficult phrasing, or maybe that was a very difficult interpretation. Or it was like the students try to have, you know, everything mixed into one question. Let me try and answer them, and then you will say whether you intended that as the question. So, when this war is going to end? Well, how I understood this question, when this war will be over, how we can help? Well, usually you do help when the war is still in progress. Look, we are doing everything possible for this war to end. So, and we are fighting, and we don't need a frozen conflict on our territory. We want to push Russians out of the territory of Ukraine, and we don't want to have any other continuation of the war. We want to be free, and once again, to remind that we're not in a puppet theater of President Putin, but we are a country with dignity. Now, how the student community can help? Well, in many ways, students are the bravest. That's to continue the topic of my statement. We had two revolutions in support of the freedom and our European choice. We had the war started. Now, in all of those activities, the first on the Maidan, the first on this revolution, the first were the youth. They were coming the first. The students were coming first, because this is a unique energy. Now, after the war, what do we need to do? We will need to recover and reinvent the destroyed country of Ukraine. We would need to restore a future fully-fledged member to the European Union. We would need to restore the Ukraine, and that would require some support and assistance in development and contribution and thoughts. So there would need to be a contribution in the recovery and renovation of Ukraine. So we would be happy to invite the students with their ideas, with their knowledge. We're happy to invite them to Ukraine. And you said that you're a medical student. Now, that's something that is very important for Ukraine, because surely you know that there's a lot of wounded people, and you know what type of war it is. There is also a matter of psychological challenges brought by the war. There is also a question of mental health. Now, all of those questions are very topical after the war, so surely we would need your support in our territory after the war. Although this is going to be a win-win environment for Ukraine, that would be an assistance from people like you, and for you it will be more experience. Now, was that your question was about, or no? Have I answered the question?
Yeah, it was fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Great.
So, I got a high mark. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from here at the University of Florence.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. I'm Federica from the University of Florence. And I would like to ask you if there is a way for you, and hopefully for the Ukrainian citizens, to find well-being every day and how, despite the current situation.
Thank you for the question. It's difficult. It's a difficult question. It's hard to find well-being and positive things amidst the war, but we have learned to live in a motivated way in Ukraine during the war, when there's air raid alerts, when there is ballistic missile hits, where there is Iranian drones. Now, despite all of those daily challenges, we have learned it's difficult, but we'll live with the dream when we are very much united, and there was never a unity like that in Ukraine, never in the past. And, you know, that motivates a lot. We are motivated, we're united around the victory. So it's important that there are some values that we fight for, but these values, you don't really pay attention a lot to them during the time of peace. Oh, I mean, friendship, families, relatives, your house, your dog, your child, a beloved person. And all of those things that are very, very important. And after a certain period of time, you realize that these are the most important. This is what holds you on this place. This is what you live for. And this is now what we are fighting for. So that's what holding us together.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Inalco.
По-перше, я щиро дякую за цю можливість, вашу увагу та
час. Possibility.
And
I would like to express words of gratitude to those universities hosting some of the Ukrainian students in this difficult period of time.
My name is Anastasia Vineton. Інелько спеціалізується на вивченні мов
культурних
світу та міжнародних
мов. Specializing in
тому, що у студентські роки ви хотіли
стати мати.
А тепер відстоюєте інтереси нашої держави,
маючи вигідні
переваги. Скажіть, будь ласка, які на вашу думку якості повинні виховати
major qualities should be developed by the students of all the universities.
Відчуття, що дуже приємне. А окей. Мені складно сказати за все.
Well, it's hard to tell you for all the students from all the countries of the world. You know, I'm taking responsibility for Ukraine. It's hard to take responsibility for the rest of the world. Which major qualities? It's hard to give you an answer to that question. But still, I would say a human-centric approach. Because I think that people are the most important. And if you're building your life around the human values, then you could live with people like that. You could spend the life with people like that. You can love one another. So I think that it's all about the human qualities, the dignity, the freedom, the respect to others, the respect to human rights. And I believe that this is the most important thing to pay respect to the rights of others. Don't think about your own rights, but think of the rights of others as well. Because if you're not violating the human rights, the other human rights, then there is a big chance that you'll be respected. So your attitude to life, your attitude to different people will turn into the attitude towards you. So that's what I think. If you're not an aggressor, if you're not taking anything from anyone, then there will be a respect towards you, towards your rights, towards your life, and then towards your work, your, I don't know, real estate, whatever is important for anyone. So it's important to pay respect to the rights of others. So I think that's the most important. Thank you. Glory to Ukraine. Glory to heroes.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Constanz.
Hello, dear Mr. President. Thank you very much for the honor to talk to us today. My name is Hannah Fjelle, and I'm a student at the University of Constance. And we would like to know, what opportunities do you see to strengthen already existing partnerships between Ukrainian and other European universities? And what new kind of formats can we have for cooperation between our universities, which still should be initiated, in your opinion? Thank you very much.
I would like to remind you that I'm not a minister for education. I'm not a dean of a university. It's hard for me to tell what other possibilities exist in between of the students. I'm not a student at this time, so it's hard for me to tell what's the most important and what's most interesting for you. Now, it's a great pleasure that I'm hearing this question, because, you know, I might be thinking that I'm just as young person as all of you. But I think it's rather a question about the development. There's many different programs. When you share the experience, whenever you had a chance to talk to one another, to exchange information, and I know that there are programs when the Ukrainian students today, which have some limited capabilities now because of the war, now they don't have a chance to this social dimension, that they have to have an online education. Now, because of the online education, they have a chance to access the library and to have an access to the knowledges of other universities. Now, for a certain period of time, these knowledges are available only to those students studying at these universities. Now, I think if there will be a space available to everyone, if there will be a space available to Ukrainian students, that would be wonderful. Inviting you to Ukraine, amidst the war wouldn't be right. So after the war, of course, I would be happy to invite you as the student, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Linnaeus University in Sweden.
My name is Xuan Dong, a master student of international affairs at Linnaeus University. Our question is, how can governments make efforts to treat everyone equally, regardless of where they come from, to create a more unified Europe?
Well, there has to be an open legislative platform for that. In Ukraine, there's equal rights to everyone, and it could be different age, different gender, different sex. Men, we have to develop all that. There are challenges. Not everything is ideal, and there's a lot of things that we need to work on, but those steps has to be taken. And frankly speaking, the European model and the European legislation, it gives the chance, not to come up with anything new. For example, just recently, despite the war, we have adopted the Istanbul Convention, and still, I mean, despite the challenges, despite the war, we have to take further steps. And that's the strength of the European Union. If the countries can see themselves belonging to the European Union, belonging to the other equal countries, they have to know that all the law, all the legislation that exists in any single country of Europe will be applied to your country as well. And we are absolutely open to that. Now, despite the fact that we're not, at this point, we're not a member of the European Union, but we're taking the steps and we are adopting all the necessary laws.
Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Semmelweis University.
Dear Mr. President, my name is Sloane Kudrinko. I'm a dental student at Semmelweis University. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today. We can only imagine the horrific impact the invasion is having on the entire Ukrainian population, not only now, but unfortunately for many years to come. As university students and younger citizens are already considered a high-risk population with respect to experiencing mental health distress and/or mental health illness, how does your government address the issues so the Ukrainian leaders of tomorrow can deal with the horrors of today? Thank you.
Thank you. Frankly speaking, I don't really want to be very political in answering your question. And I would like to answer you as an ordinary person. I don't believe that the government of our country is, taking a comprehensive approach to resolving this issue, because unfortunately, the large priority for us, and the major priority for us is to survive at this war. That is why our ministries, it could be different ministries in different directions. We all are currently working in relation to the war. We are tackling with the war for the sake of the peace. And whenever we're talking about the schools, so surely, there has to be all about the quality education, equality skills, but we have to prioritize the capabilities. So we need to have bomb shelters at schools, bomb shelters at universities. That's why we're dealing with repairs and renovations for the universities that were under attack. That is why we're trying to relocate the university that were located on the occupied territories of Ukraine. That's our example of our attitude towards the university. So security first, and then comes the education. And the same goes in many other directions. Our task is to save the lives of the people and to give them some sort of the quality of life, because their values are very important, because their fathers are on the front lines, and our academia, they're fighting while they could be traveling to some other country, and they would be in need in those countries because they have the experience, they have the knowledge, but still they have stayed and they will serve, and they are already serving to Ukraine. So that the approach is currently as I've described to you. This is what we have. We are surviving at this point, and we are kind of adding up. We are trying to support our people, because you can't lose the motivation for the Ukrainians. Whenever the Ukrainians will lose the motivation, we'll lose our state. And if we'll lose our state, there will be a threat of the independence of some Europe.
Thank you. Our final question comes from KNU in Kyiv.
Вітаю вас, Володимир Олександровичу.
Greetings. Mr. President, I'd like to say that truly you are the example of bravery and leadership. Thank you for your work, for your struggle. It's an honor to be Ukrainians. My question, what do you believe Ukraine now is the foundation for the free democratic world? Well, I can't say better than you. It's not about me. I'm about this support and foundation for the free democratic world. Yes. I think no one would really want Ukraine to be defeated, because they would need to find another foundation, another support, and that would mean that someone else would need to fight, would need to lose lives. So Ukraine is not just a support of a foundation. Ukraine is a kind of a wall in between of the autocracy and the democracy. And so we have to stand in order to serve as the true foundation for the free and democratic Europe in the future. Thank you, Mr. President. We understand your tight schedule, and today the leader of European Commission had a meeting with you and once again assured Ukraine and Europe on our joint future. So we'd like to wish you courage and to have a victory as soon as possible in order to build a free, democratic and independent Ukraine. And we in the Alliance of the University, in our university named after Taras Shevchenko, we are with you in this fight. Thank you. Thank you. A great honor. I thank to you and thank to all the universities for this opportunity to have the conversation. And I would like to congratulate all of you with this Day of Europe. And I thank to those universities who hosted the Ukrainian students and for having such a good relationship and cooperation between the universities that I've seen in between of the university named after Taras Shevchenko and the other universities from around the world. So all the best. Take care.